Mark 4:35, and the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Calm down. God's got this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we are reminded, dear God, of your mighty power. And Lord, we see that exhibited through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we are asked from time to time to traverse the storms of life, that maybe, Lord, this story would come back to our memory. Maybe even just this title, just when we need it, might come to our aid. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Very good. Thank you. You know, those of us that live in the Midwest, we have a fascination with storms. And we've had recent close calls lately where real-life tornadoes, you know, we had Honor Day going at the end of the school year last year. And we're giving out medallions and medals, and everybody's phone starts going off. And what do? We just finish the service because that's what we do. And then they tell everybody, take shelter, there's a tornado coming. And what do all of you do? You run into your front yard and look around to see. You know, I've got people in this church that were videoing tornadoes as they were coming across. Yeah, Bob and Kim. Videotaping on their front porch. Did they take shelter? No, they're out there with their phone videotaping tornadoes as they come through. You know, folks, there is something very fascinating, though, when it comes to storms. And by the way, I say this, to me, they're almost spiritual in nature. And what I mean by that is this. When I see a storm, I'm reminded of the great power. Come on. The activity of my Creator in stirring the storms. You know, insurance companies even recognize God's part in these things. They deem some natural disasters as AOGs, or acts of God. It's a term that they use literally in the policies. In legal usage throughout the English-speaking world, an act of God is a natural hazard outside human control, such as an earthquake or a tsunami or as a tornado, for which no person can be held responsible or no person could have prevented. An act of God is an instance, think about this, of uncontrollable natural force. And mankind needs to be reminded of this. You know, we think we can control everything. And every once in a while, God reminds us that he's in control. And so think about that. Uncontrollable, unpreventable by mankind. The weather is one of the few things around us in which mankind has no say, no vote in the matter. You know, we'll get back there in the foyer. How many times have we been talking about the weather? Because that's kind of what we do. And at the conclusion of us either complaining about the weather or whatever, somebody will inevitably say, well, you know, we don't get a vote in this. And I say, yeah, thank God we don't. I'm going to leave all that to God. Mankind might manipulate a lot of things. Learn to manipulate the economy. Come on. Well, mankind will meddle in politics. They can amend laws of the land. But when it comes to the wind, God dictates. When it comes to rain or ice or snow, God decides. You know, when it comes to how loud the thunder and how bright the lightning, you know what? No man has any control over that. That's in the hands of Jehovah God. And if you do a word study on on this idea of a storm. If you do a word study on the word storm in the Bible, it's pretty fascinating. And I won't go deep into it, but you know what? It's found 13 times in 14 different verses. And as you go through and look at those verses, I'll tell you, it'll do something. You know, it doesn't surprise us, shouldn't surprise us that it's found twice in the book of Job. He knew what it was to face some storms. Twice King David penned the word storm in two of his psalms, and as we go to the Psalms for comfort, it shouldn't surprise us that we see the word storm. Once Asaph used the word in Psalms 83 when he was praying against the enemies of Israel. Think about that. He wrote, "So persecute them with the tempest and make them afraid with thy storms." And by the way, we can go into the Bible and find out where God literally used nature, used the weather to defeat enemies at times. Isaiah pens the word four times. Twice, Isaiah encourages Israel by reminding them that God is a refuge from the storm. Twice, Isaiah warns Israel that if they fail to return to God, think about that, we need to hear this psalm, then the same God who could be a refuge from the storm is the same God who sends the storms to judge, yes, even his people, even his chosen people, even those of us of his children. Two more prophets pen the word storm, Ezekiel and Nahum. The first is used as a warning against Gog and Magog in the last days. And they shall descend upon Israel like a storm, only to meet the one who created the storm. Think about that. Second is written as a warning to the wicked, and Nahum writes that. The last two times we find the word storm in the Bible is both found in the Gospels, and it involves the Lord Jesus Christ, and it involves the story we read. The same story, Mark chapter 4, you can go to Luke chapter number 8 and read almost an exact replica of the same event. And I believe that these two are found in a story that is set to remind us that even those of us that are in the will of God, think about this, and doing our best to obey the word of God, there's still going to be times that it's within the perfect will of God that we face storms. Listen, folks, I guess I want to encourage you tonight, but we don't have to face them alone. We can face storms, but we do not have to face them alone. So I guess I'm going to preach on this subject. You pray for me. Calm down. God's got this. There's several things that's very notable in this story, and I love this story. And I think every preacher's preached this story many times because I think our people need to hear it. You know, folks, the disciples, a couple of things. The disciples were obeying the direction of the Lord when they were in the midst of the storm. They were not being disobedient. This was not a storm that was chasing Jonah because he left the will of God. This was a storm that the disciples were facing because they were obeying the direction of the Lord. In Luke 8, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake," and they launched forth. So this is Jesus that directed them to go over the lake to the other side. I think he knew the timing. I think he knew it was going to happen. Here are disciples that love the Lord and are trying to obey the Lord, and yet they find themselves in the middle of a storm. The disciples, by the way, not only were obeying the direction of the Lord, they were sitting in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 8, verse 23, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep." Folks, he was in the boat with them. Oh, that's good to hear. He was in the boat with them. And so, yes, if I'm in the will of God, doing the best I can to obey the word of God, I may have to face a storm, but I can promise you this, God does not ask us to face it alone. Number three, even though they were obeying the Lord and with the Lord, a storm still threatened their ship. Now, you know, we can't downplay the extent of this storm. Mark chapter 4, verse 37 says, "And there arose a great storm of wind." Now, that's when you're in a boat in the middle of a lake. And then it goes on to say, "And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." So, folks, this is a serious situation. Luke chapter 8, verse 23, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy." And so again, this isn't a little rumble. This isn't a sprinkling. This isn't a small wind. Mark uses the term great storm of wind. He uses the term waves beat into the ship. He uses the term was now full of water. Luke writes the storm of wind on the lake. They were filled with water, and then they were in jeopardy. That word jeopardy, in peril, in danger. So you can be in the will of God, following the direction of God, in the presence of God, and still find yourself in a precarious situation. And number four, I'm kind of going through this introduction, they became upset because they began to believe that Jesus did not care about their situation. I hope that all of us can just kind of go like that. I think we've probably all been there at some time where all of a sudden this storm hits that we had not anticipated. We're trying our best to live for the Lord. We're trying our best to obey the Bible. We're trying our best to be in the will of God. And all of a sudden we're in the midst of a storm. And come on, folks, I think a very human reaction at that moment is to say, well, Lord, have you forgotten about me? Lord, do you not care? Do you not care? Mark chapter 4, verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. You ever feel like while you're in the storm, God might be asleep, you know? And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And so, you know, folks, all of us at times have been there where we just wonder, does God even know what's going on? Does he even care? Is he asleep? Is he paying attention? Can he see I'm trying to live for him? Can he see I'm trying to obey him? Can he see that I'm trying to be obedient to him? I'm trying to live in his will. What in the world's going on? And then we see that Jesus then teaches the disciples three important lessons. Now watch this, folks. I'm going to give you something good here, okay? If God allowed a storm in your life and you're in the will of God, doing the best you can to obey the word of God in the presence of God, he always does it for a reason. And a lot of times, it is to teach us some basic lessons that we need to learn in life. And so I see the reaction of Jesus, and there are several things that I love about this and the way Jesus handled this. First of all, he was asleep. Remember that. We already pointed that out. But I think by sleeping while the storm was going on, he taught them something. You can have peace in the midst of a storm. Did you hear that? You can have peace in the midst of a storm. Luke chapter 8, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And then it says, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish, we perish. And yet he had to be awakened. You know why? It wasn't bothering him. You know, folks, listen to me. I understand new Christians. I understand all of us going through storms. I mean, really, really bad storms for maybe the first few times in life. I could see us reacting the way the disciples did here. But, you know, as we mature, I think God wants us to not react the same way we would the first time we faced a storm. You know, Jesus could sleep. Think about this. Why could Jesus sleep and they couldn't? Because Jesus knew that his Father, think about this, his heavenly Father controlled the storm. Hey, let's learn as men and leaders, let's learn some leadership lessons tonight, okay? Watch this. Men, this is something we all need to remember. Watch this. When everyone else is panicking, you know what? A real leader will sit down and smile and relax. Let me say that again. When everyone else is panicking, a real leader will sit down and smile and relax. You moms, have you ever had to say the two words calm down to your children? That's in the mom dictionary. That's well within mom's vocabulary, where the kids, all of a sudden something happens and they come in and they're in a rush and they're in a panic and all of them's talking at once and you know what? Mom says, calm down, calm down. Husbands, have you ever had to say to your wives, calm down? Let me say this, give you some good advice on that. Never in the history of mankind has a wife ever calmed down because a husband said to calm down. It has the direct opposite effect on a wife, okay? Now, she wants it to work on the kids, but she don't want it to work on her. Usually, it just makes them go a notch higher, all right? So, Anyway, a little advice after 40 years of marriage, okay? But, you know, folks, come on. Those of us been saved for a while, I love this. I love that this church is generational. I love that this church, you know, has weathered some storms. I'm glad that there's people that have been, as we celebrated with the Maoris this morning, been married 68 years. We have many people in our congregation that have been married 40 years and 50 years and 60 years, and they've served the Lord for decades and decades. And you know what's so great about that is sometimes even when the preacher wants to panic a little bit, you know what? I'm thank God for older godly men that just come alongside me and say, okay, Pastor, it's going to be all right. Calm down. It's going to be just fine. Because why can we feel that way, folks? Because we've seen some storms. You know, folks, why do some of us don't lose sleep over what causes other people to lose sleep? Come on, God's allowing this because he's going to grow our faith here. He's wanting to grow our faith here. And so, you know what? We need to learn this lesson of life. Watch this. I want to give you this. Think about this. Learn this lesson of life. For a Christian, this is true. When it looks out of control, it's not. When it looks out of control, it's not. You know why? Because God ultimately has everything in control. So by sleeping, you say, preacher, why was he asleep at this time? Because everything Jesus did, he did on purpose, and he was going to teach us something. He was saying this, you can have peace in the midst of the storm. Let me give you the second thing I think he was teaching us here. By sleeping, he taught them you can have peace in the midst of the storm. Watch this. By staying, he taught them, I will never leave you in the midst of a storm. You say, what do you mean by staying? Well, can I remind you of something? Jesus has already proved that he can walk on water. All of those men had to stay in the boat. But Jesus didn't have to stay in the boat. You know what? But he chose to. He chose to. You know, think about this, folks. You know what? Again, can I give you another great leadership principle? This is important. When everyone else is ready to jump out of the boat, watch this, refuse to leave the place God has placed you. Oh, that's such good advice. When everyone else is ready to jump out of the boat, refuse to leave the place God has placed you. Sometimes, mature Christians, come on, Dad, sometimes we need to just say to our family, calm down, God's got this. You know, I'm so glad that I have the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's just wonderful to know, and I mean this, I want you to settle in your heart. It's just wonderful to know that no matter what God asks you to go through, he will never ask you to go through it alone. And so here Jesus is teaching them some things. Listen, he was asleep. Preacher, I can't believe he was sleeping. Well, I think he was trying to teach us something. You know what? You can have peace in the midst of the storm. My Father's in control. Watch this. He taught them, by staying, I will never leave you in the midst of your storm. Great leadership principle. When everyone is ready to jump out of the boat, refuse to leave the place God has placed you. Let me give you number three. By speaking, okay, by sleeping, by staying, and by speaking, he taught them, oh, I love this, I am more powerful than your greatest storm. I am more powerful than your greatest storm. And I think that's the real lesson here. If we read Luke's account, Luke 8, verse 24, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. And he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Oh, folks, let's not forget this. Calm down, God's got it. Calm down, God's got it. And then in the account of Mark, and he arose, verse 39, and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea. Can imagine being able to speak to the sea and have it obey you? What did he say? Peace be still, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The same Lord that allowed the storm to come is the same Lord that can speak but a few words, and the storm is over. And let me say this. While we're being tested in the midst of the storm, you know what? I want to be found faithful. I want to be found faithful. What's the leadership principle, great leadership principle here. When everyone, I like this, when everyone else is screaming, we're all going to die, somebody just needs to stand up, bow your head, and pray to the God of the storm and say, watch what God does. Hey, hang in there. Watch what God does. Watch how he's going to take care of this. Preacher, why does God allow the storms of life to come? Listen, folks, if Jesus, now think about this. We could argue this. If Jesus can calm a storm, couldn't he have also prevented the storm? Yes, he could have. And we would not have had this story. And I don't know about you, but I need this story in the Bible. I need to be able to come and watch my Savior asleep while everybody else is going crazy. I need to watch him stand up. And when everyone else is ready to jump out, I need to see him stay in the boat when he could have walked away. And I need to see him just stand up on the bow of a ship and talk to the sea and the winds and the waves and have every one of them come to attention and salute and obey the master. I love that. God sends storms, watch this, so that we can learn how to react in a storm. God sends storms so that we will learn how to react to a storm. Sometimes I talk about adults going through things. Young people gone through a lot of things. I can't because a lot of the subjects are sensitive and I wouldn't embarrass anybody. But folks, we've got teenagers all over this church. And by the way, we have elementary age kids all over this church that's already been asked to go through some pretty difficult things. And you know what? It doesn't bother me that they're shaken some. It doesn't bother me that they question some. It doesn't bother me that, you know what, maybe their faith is little. But why does God allow it? Even at a tender age, young people, children, please listen to me. Why does God sometimes, even at a tender age, allow you to go through something that doesn't make any sense to you? Because he's trying to build your faith. And every storm you go through, you know what? You're going to have more faith in the one who controls the waves. Amen. Every storm you go through, you're going to have more faith in the one who controls the wind and controls the rain. And you know what you do? You survive it. And I was just talking. I hope you don't misunderstand this. But I was just talking to a young man. And thank God for young Christians. And thank God for young people in ministry. But, you know, here's a young man and his wife that launched out in the ministry and they're facing some of the first ministry storms that they've had to face. And he was telling me about the last 3 or 4 months and some of the things that they've been tested on and some of the things they had to do without and some of the things that some of the storms they had to face. And I just listened to him and listened to him and listened to him. And you know what? At the end of it, I said, well, how are you doing now? Well, I don't know. How's your wife doing? Well, I don't know. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, are you still alive? Say, preacher, that doesn't sound very compassionate. Are you still alive? He started laughing. He said, preacher, we are. I said, you didn't die? No. You didn't starve to death? No. Everybody's alive? Yes. Well, it sounds like you're okay. What were you doing, preacher? Trying to grow him up a little bit. Won't you, listen, folks, listen. We don't always need to pat everybody on the head. Come on now. I'm all for compassion. I understand people. But good night, son. You're in ministry now. Guess what's ahead for you? Storms. Guess what's ahead for your family? Storms. Guess what's ahead for your church? Storms. Son, you can't react like everybody else reacts when it comes to storms. You're the pastor now. Okay, call your old preacher anytime you want to. I'll let you cry on my shoulder a little bit, and I mean that. And I was very kind, and I gave him some encouragement. But sometimes an old man just needs to look at a young man and say, you still alive? Well, you know what? I guess God took care of you then. Hey, welcome to the ministry, brother. You know, that's kind of what it is. I love this. God sends storms so that we can learn how to react to a storm. When your family's in the middle of a hurricane of testings, you know, Dad, you have to be the one that learns to smile and look at everybody and say, calm down, God's got this. You know, I like this song. Maybe it's a kid's song. Can we sing it together? Everything's all right. in my Father's, everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house, everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, 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 Jesus is the way to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Jesus is the way to my Father's house. Where there's joy, 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 come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Where there's joy, 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 the devil won't be there in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. The devil won't be there in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. One more time. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy. You know, it's good to get into that place in your Christian life where the waves are beating the ship and the winds are blowing, and you can just sit there as you're bailing water singing, everything's all right in my Father's house. Oh, that's a good place to get to. The storm was sent, watch this, the storm was sent to test their present faith and to increase their future faith. I mean, after they watched what Jesus did there, I can't imagine the next time they got into a storm, they were probably as worried as they was the first time. Can I just kind of finish out by sharing some things with you? We're done, but listen to me. We need the storms. We need the storms. Say, preacher, that you mentioned that young couple just new in ministry, and boy, I wish you could have saved them from that. Nope. No, 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 no. I mean it, no. Are you kidding me? They'll never be what they could be if they didn't have to go through some storm. You know, folks, I as a pastor, I grieve in my heart. I mean that. I grieve when I watch our people have to go through difficult things. But you know what? Can I just be honest with you? Would I save you from it? Nope. Because if you don't face some storms, you know what? Your present faith will never be anything more than it is. And so the storm was sent to test their present faith and show them some of the weaknesses of it, but also to increase their future faith, because just about the time I thought all was lost and we were going under, man alive, God stepped in. We need the storms. Storms are not the norm. You know, thank God that's true. Storms, well, when they do come, they come suddenly. That's the way this one happened. Storms remind us that we're not always in control. Come on, it reminds us that we're not always in control. Guess what? Jerry Ross can't handle everything. Storms drive us to the one who is all-knowing and all-powerful. Storms build our faith in God, build our faith in God. And you know what? Storms also, I love this, help us to be thankful for the calm. I mean, I thought to myself how those disciples must have felt when that sea just went completely calm. I mean, I think it was like a sheet of glass out there. I all of a sudden, don't you think when they experienced the calm, come on, they were more thankful than they were before the storm. I guess that's the message for tonight. I don't know what you're facing, but be assured. Come on, let me say it again. God's got this. You know, relax a little bit. Come on, smile a little bit. Spend a little bit more time in prayer. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord to bring the calm in His time. He's going to bring the calm in His time. So calm down, calm down. God's got this. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help the good people here, Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And Lord, I look around as I was preaching, and story after story after story after story popped into my mind. Lord, all across this auditorium are people that have had to weather some pretty difficult things. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that, Lord, no matter what we have to face, no matter what they are facing now, that you would help them to relax. You would help them to calm down. You'd help them to pray and trust. And Lord, thank you, dear God. Thank you. Thank you for being in the ship. Thank you for sleeping so that you could teach us to have peace. We can have peace in the midst of the storm. Thank you for a staying in the ship. You didn't get out and walk away when they needed you the most. You stayed put. And thank you for strengthening the faith of these disciples. Thank you for being 100% in charge. Thank you for speaking the words, peace be still. And Lord, in somebody's life tonight, I think they probably need you to come alongside and say, peace be still. Calm the storm a little, calm the waves a little. Help them, dear God, to be reminded of the fact that you're there. We pray these things in Jesus' name.